When we expend negative energy towards others and the world around us, we push ourselves further away from our own success. Welcome to Wealthy Thoughts with your host, Richard Levy. Our show provides a positive blueprint to what you could be doing in order to bring more success to your life. Now, here's Richard Levy.
Warm greetings to you, ladies and gentlemen, in the United States and all around the world. This is Richard Levy in Flower Mound, Texas, located between Dallas and Fort Worth. Welcome to Wealthy Thoughts, where we talk about the thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and actions you need to take in order to live a prosperous, healthy, happy, and abundant life, where you focus your attention, your conversation, and your written words is where you are heading in life. So why not focus on success and wealth in order to live a life of success and wealth? My guest today is an example for you, for me, for all of us who choose to live an abundant and prosperous life. Suzanne Giesemann is the author of 11 books, a metaphysical teacher, and an evidential medium. If you're unfamiliar with that term, stay tuned. Buckle your safety belts, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to hear what that means and want you to get a feel for what kind of work Suzanne does as an evidential medium. She captivates audiences as she brings hope, healing, and comfort through her work. Suzanne is a retired United States Navy commander. She served as a commanding officer, as special assistant to the Chief of Naval Operations, and as aide to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff on 9/11. On 9/11, United States Navy Commander Suzanne Giesemann was aboard a military aircraft as it flew over the just demolished Twin Towers. As aide to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, she strode beside him through the still smoldering Pentagon. All those lives gone in an instant, robbed of the chance to live their dreams. Would she and her naval captain husband get to live their own dream? Suzanne believes that people will experience abundance as a direct result of coming into alignment with their soul's purpose. To me, Suzanne told me, only one thing matters, and that is love. And now, folks, isn't that something we all can join in on? Love. Love unites. Love is that emotion that feels the best to us, and that love is the power within you that can bring whatever you want in life. Today, Suzanne addresses questions about the purpose of life, the nature of reality, and attuning to higher consciousness. That's a quote from none other New York Times bestseller, Dr. Wayne W. Dyer. And what he says is, I have had sessions with Suzanne, and I genuinely respect and admire her skills. She will touch you from a God-realized place, so pay close attention. Dear friends, I want you to really sit back, relax, turn away the distractions, and I want you to listen to the words of my friend, Suzanne Giesemann. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me now in warmly greeting United States Navy Commander Suzanne Giesemann. Commander Giesemann, welcome to Wealthy Thoughts. How are you feeling today? And may I please have the pleasure of calling you Suzanne?
Thank you. If I can call you Richard.
Absolutely. Touche. Very well done, Suzanne. Okay. Thank you, Suzanne. You sound great, and I love the way we just started the show today. I love your energy. You are an example of a very accomplished woman. You certainly have had a successful military career with the United States Navy, and on behalf of our guests, we honor you, thank you, and congratulate you. You are also the author of some 11 books. Pretty amazing. Friends, before we find out about Suzanne, and I am so excited to find out about Suzanne Giesemann, the author, the life coach, the mentor, let's get to know her a bit personally. Suzanne, did you have a life-changing experience that turned your attitude around, that is, that led you to successes in life?
Well, Richard, it's just been one opportunity after another to stretch and grow. We all get those opportunities throughout our lives. But I would say the one event that changed me more than anything, other than 9/11, which affected all of us on a profound level, was the death of my stepdaughter. She was 27 years old and 6 months pregnant when she was struck by lightning and killed. It was a defining moment for me, because until that point, I had questioned why we're here after 9/11, when so many lives were so tragically taken. I questioned the purpose of life and why some people die before their time, as we put it. But when Susan was killed, I could no longer ignore these questions. And so that one moment propelled me in a very unexpected direction. And if it weren't for that, I would not have come to the realizations that I share with people around the world now. It totally changed my life. And I know that most of your listeners can identify with the fact that it's often a major tragedy in one's life that turns out in a strange way to be a bit of a blessing.
Well, first of all, that impacted me, and it's just very, very, it's hardest, probably one of the hardest things, experiences in life, Suzanne. And listeners out there, Suzanne mentioned, to lose a child, lose a close one, especially in any, for any reason, but an abrupt reason of a lightning strike. May we ask, how old was dear Susan when this happened?
She was 27, and she was a sergeant in the Marine Corps. She was actually at work in the line of duty when this happened. So we're very proud of her, and I dedicate all of my work, all of my efforts to honoring her life here.
That is so beautiful, just so touching. And we join you in sending Susan thoughts of energy and love and peace. For you, Suzanne, this was an abrupt change of life. So this changed the course, the direction of you. Where were you in terms of your professional career when this happened? Were you serving in the Navy at the time?
No, I had retired at that point, and because of 9/11, I realized just how short and precious life is, and I looked at my husband and I said, you know, life is too short not to live your dreams while you can. So I retired at exactly 20 years of service, and we set off and fulfilled one of our dreams, which was to sail off into the sunset aboard our sailboat, and we were doing that when Susan was killed. So I was out enjoying life to the fullest. I had my military pension, and I was very satisfied to have sold my house, sold my cars, and I had a sailboat, and I lived in that small confined space and learned very quickly that it's not about what you own, but how you live your life.
That could be the interview right there. I'm so sorry. I have a little doggy there who likes to let me know he loves me too. Let me ask you this. This experience with the passing of Susan due to the lightning strike, you had retired from the Navy, you had your pension, you'd sold some assets. Is this a message we could pass on the audience before we get in further talking to you and learning about you, Suzanne, that it sometimes takes a shock like a death of somebody close to us to put life into perspective, that the things, the toys, the objects, keeping up with the Joneses, whether you do that or not, and that's a phrase for those outside the U.S. that means keeping up with the neighbors, trying to be as good as them. Is this an experience that sometimes makes us focus on sunsets, sailing on the ocean, and realizing what's important?
Most definitely. And when you live a simplified life like that, you don't have to have a big fancy boat. Ours was 20 years old at the time. And it to us was basic shelter and transportation. And you realize that we really don't need all the fancy accoutrements. We just need each other and love in our life and safety, security, and then the other things fall into place.
Wonderful message. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you take the impact of what Suzanne Giesemann just mentioned to us. Yes, we want to go after our goals. be passionate about life. Follow what you love to do. Suzanne certainly is an example of a very accomplished woman, as is her husband, is a very accomplished man. Both have had successful careers in the United States Navy. Suzanne, you're the author of 11 books. Whoa. Sitting down, and I haven't written one book. I know the time involved, but 11 books. I salute you also for that accomplishment. You're a metaphysical teacher. You're an evidence-based medium. We'll talk about that in a moment, all which are quite different from your previous career as a Navy commander. You were a commanding officer and aide to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, as we talked about in the intro. What brought about, Suzanne, this abrupt change in direction to you?
Well, if you're talking about from being the Navy officer to being an evidence-based medium, it was Susan's death, because I'll get into a little bit of a sensitive subject here, but it was at her funeral, looking at her body there, that I realized that the body is simply the vessel for the soul. She was such a vibrant, beautiful person that I realized that that was her spirit that we all loved, and that it still had to be alive. It still had to exist in some form, even though I had never had any interaction or reason to believe in a greater reality or a spirit world. It was that moment of Susan's funeral that showed me there must be more. And so I pretty much had to take the lid off the box that I'd put myself into as a Navy officer, thinking there's only one reality, that which we can touch and see and sense, and going in search of a greater reality through meditation, and that changed everything for me.
So it was at her funeral. Before the funeral, as a Navy officer, as an accomplished woman in life, you weren't so involved with the evidential medium, the life hereafter, the soul, the spirit, as you looked at your dear stepdaughter's body there. You felt, as I understood you, her energy, her spirit, and this is what everybody around her loved, especially you and your husband. So is this what led you to a shift to getting involved, to be an evidential medium?
Absolutely. It didn't unfold for a couple years after that. I had to really immerse myself in a meditative practice and investigating what others had learned about a greater reality. But the more I had the personal experience of that reality through meditation, the more I awakened my own intuitive abilities and my own connection with that greater reality. So that was the defining moment, that funeral.
Mm-hmm. Okay, for our guest, Suzanne, whether they're in the United States or outside the country, not so familiar with our language, would you be so kind to give us a brief description of what an evidential medium is and how you go about getting in contact with people in the hereafter? And I realize you and I could speak hours on that, but would you take shot
at
that?
Of course. I realize now that we all are spirit beings, souls, whether we're alive in this reality or in the greater reality, our spirit survives. And an evidence-based medium is a person who can connect with those who have passed to the greater reality and bring through evidence, verifiable information about their life when they were here that the medium could not possibly know, so that those who are left behind here know that the medium is communicating with their loved ones who have passed. You can understand how, with my rigid left-brain military background, it was important for me to receive verifiable evidence from the other side before I could really believe that I was communicating with someone who used to be alive in human form but is now in the spirit world. And the amount of evidence that comes through when I sit with someone who's lost someone is overwhelming and very convincing.
What a contrast, if I may address it that way. Please correct me if I'm wrong. The left brain part of you, of your body, your thinking as a military officer, as a commander of the United States Navy, is a life of show me the evidence, show me the reports. And I know from reading about you, you're involved in intelligence work, and you're reading reports, and you have to have evidence. You have to have proof, yes, to as best you can gather that, and then make cognitive decisions that could be of, and not could be, they're of national interest and importance. Now, in the evidence medium, you're using another side of your brain. As you talk with people, how do you go about this? Is this at seminars? Do people contact you? How do you? It sounds like you have a lot of experience getting in touch with you when you have a client or somebody who contacts you. Is this done in a medium of a situation of a seminar? How do you do this? Or is it privately?
I do that one-on-one in sessions, either in person or on the phone or on Skype using the computer, and I simply expand my consciousness into a type of meditative state, and using intention and positive thoughts, expectations, I invite in the presence of those who are no longer in a physical body to share with us. And they know exactly the kind of evidence I want to know. How old were they when they passed? What did they pass of? What kind of work did they do? That kind of evidence immediately identifies them to the person sitting with me, that they are who they are and that they're still here. And then we take it from there.
As you take it from there, Suzanne, and you get in touch with your feelings, your intuitive powers, you then can relay information, pass on your impulses, your feeling, your urges to the woman or man, and then they are amazed, they are impressed and amazed that you are describing the person who has passed. A lot of characteristics.
You know, Richard, the goal is not to amaze and impress them. It's really to get through, to be a mouthpiece for those on the other side, to say what they didn't get a chance to say or what they need to say now. And if I could share one example with you that relates exactly to the topic of this program about wealth. I had a client sitting with me, and I sensed her mother on the other side. Her mother had passed, and I brought through evidence from the mother, and the mother showed me that this client and her brother were arguing over finances, and that there were lawyers involved, and there was even a lawsuit over the will. My client confirmed all this. Now, how else could I have known this except I was sensing it from the mother? And very interestingly, what that mother in the spirit world said to her daughter was, if I had known what this money would do, I would have burned it all before I died.
Oh, gosh. Oh, Suzanne,
yeah.
That hits me too. Ooh, that's a powerful one. Powerful one.
You see how they can combine the evidence. I had no way of knowing that this client was involved in a lawsuit with her very own brother and fighting over money, over what's not important. But that mother showed that you get to the other side and you see what's important. And my goal today as a spiritual teacher and a medium is to help people to come to this realization now, before we get to the other side.
Okay. Let me, for a moment, use my left brain and get a little bit anal on that particular example that you just gave that's so clear. You were, you were the mouthpiece for the mother who had passed on. You were the mouthpiece for her. And this this describes pretty much your work as a medium.
Oh, yes. That's a medium. The word medium means an intermediary between those who no longer have a physical mouth and those who are here in physical form. A medium, right in the middle of the two worlds.
I can hear a lot of people in the audience thinking, I would love to find out what my past mother, father, uncle, relative, best friend would say right now. What maybe maybe they would want to forgive me. Maybe I want to forgive them. If they would like to get a hold of you and begin a consultation, what's the best way to get in touch with you, Suzanne?
To have the patience of Job, Richard, because right now my waiting list for sessions is well over a year and a half, so I'm not trying to get new clients. My major mission is to share the greater messages of what it means that life is eternal, and that's why I'm so pleased that I'm able to share that through my books, through my workshops, through my courses that I offer. The readings, that is something that I do that keeps that connection with the spirit world, that helps to consistently bring through evidence to back up what I teach, that this is real, that this greater reality exists. But unfortunately, there aren't enough hours in the day to help the millions of people who have lost loved ones who need that assurance.
Amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, Suzanne Giesemann has a waiting list, or waiting list. It takes a year and a half to get in touch with her at this moment, at this time. She's not accepting new clients. But if you're ever interested, drop me an email at wealthythoughts@gmail.com. I will get in touch with Suzanne, and we can see where that goes from there. But as the show goes on, I'm going to let you know many ways you can get in touch with Suzanne. Otherwise, through her website, through her readings, through her website, through her daily messages and seminars. So you're going to find many avenues to get in touch with Suzanne. I'm touched by Suzanne already. And if you understand what she just said, if you didn't, I'm going to clarify. Through her work, her seminars, her workshops, her 11 books, she is putting out the message to convince you that as a medium, this is not imaginary. This is a real contact with people who have passed on. This is fabulous. Suzanne, you served in some pretty high positions in the military. What would you say, what are the characteristics within Suzanne Giesemann that brought you through a career of success with the United States Navy?
Richard, I would say it was just a drive to always do my best, to think ahead and foresee issues that had to be overcome, to think before I open my mouth, and simply, again, always to do my best. I went to a small state college in Pennsylvania. I didn't go to the Naval Academy, and I realized quickly that that didn't matter, that what mattered was performance on the job. And that's true of any career. Your background doesn't matter. It's how do you do the job? How do you take care of your people? How do you serve those with whom you work? And when you keep your focus there, everything else falls into place.
So the couple of characteristics, ladies and gentlemen, Suzanne Giesemann just mentioned, is thinking ahead. And that's planning ahead, Suzanne, when you're thinking ahead? Just, is that a good way to put that?
Certainly there's a bit of that. There's a bit of that, but it's more of just as you're in the moment, anticipating needs of others, thinking about the what ifs, what could go wrong in this situation, what could make things turn out right. It's just being very present in every moment of what's going on around you, what needs to be taken care of to make sure that you have a successful outcome.
All right. And we both giggled a little bit, but it's so true for everyone. And I'm raising my right hand. I'm one of you, ladies and gentlemen. Suzanne said, think before you open your mouth. And a lot of us, that's a lifelong practice. And there's a lot of good results when we do that. And my wife, Ann, would also attest that's a good idea also, very often, to think before talking. Performance on the job, Suzanne mentioned, it does not matter necessarily. Certainly it helps if you go to the Naval Academy, the Air Force Academy, Harvard, whatever. But what Suzanne's emphasizing is the right now, ladies and gentlemen, the performance on the job. And when you go to Suzanne's website, you'll see a picture of her in uniform next to the President of the United States. And not many people are able to be in that circle, certainly in the proximity of the president. And this shows the qualities within Suzanne. Have you always been a positive thinker, Suzanne?
Absolutely. And, my name's Suzanne. The nickname is Susie. And my family always said that I was overflowing with what they call enthusiasm. Not enthusiasm, but my special brand of excitement and eagerness to just get the most out of every moment. So, yeah, I think I still have that childlike enthusiasm, and it carries you well through life.
It does. It does. I love that. So your family gave you the nickname of Susie in Susie-asm, and a play, ladies and gentlemen, on, of course, enthusiasm. And I certainly feel your enthusiastic energy. How much importance, Suzanne, has wealth played in your life?
Well, Richard, you can't spend a full career working for an organization that really doesn't care about profit and have money be a major influence on your life. It's really funny that, you know, the military is not out for profit. We're out to defend our country, and so you never worried about how much your colleagues were earning or how much you could earn because you had a pay scale, and that was just guaranteed. And I don't think anybody ever joined the military for the money because it's the salaries are not overwhelming, but they're certainly satisfactory and far greater than in other countries. But so money was really not a factor. But it's funny, Richard, after I got out of the military and after Susan passed, we came back to the United States where we had been sailing in Europe. And I got a job as a strategic planning consultant. And I ended up leading workshops for CEOs and their management teams to help them set long-range goals. And it just, it was not really what I was suited for because most of them were focused on the bottom line. And I was very good at helping them achieve their goals, but it just didn't fit well with me.
Well, let me ask you about the goals. And I hear it didn't fit well with you or your spirit. However, for the men and women, the children, the adults, the teenagers, whatever age, listening to our show, Wealthy Thoughts, in the U.S. or around the world, if they're working on goals and they are not reaching their goals, I realize that's an open-ended question, but what would you give a few steps to people who, how they can define their goals and reach them? What comes to mind, Suzanne?
Well, this is an important point. It's not that setting goals didn't sit with me. It was setting focusing only on profit. That's what didn't sit well with me, focusing only on profit. There's nothing wrong with that in a material world. Unfortunately, that's what makes our world go around in many circles. But goal setting is an excellent thing to do, Richard. But I want to tell you, I taught leadership and management to officers at one point in the Navy and taught goal setting. I taught companies how to set goals. It was a very rigid structure. But now from my metaphysical viewpoint, my whole idea of goal setting has changed. I now advocate a larger vision for how you would like your life to look down the road and then seeing yourself living that way now, feeling that as your reality now, and then asking to simply be guided intuitively as far as the steps that you need to take to get there, and knowing that there is a greater reality inhabited by those who know how to make that happen for you, and it becomes a co-creative effort rather than feeling that you have to do all the work.
Okay, a couple biggies right there. If we may start, Suzanne, with feeling the reality now. So a man or woman has a goal of X, Y, Z. Are you suggesting that after they define the goal, they need to feel the reality now of already accomplished, of already having, already doing whatever they desire?
Yes, indeed. In fact, I'm laughing because my goal, my overarching vision is I am touching millions with the messages of hope, with the messages of love, that there is a greater reality and we are part of that. That's a really big goal, isn't it, to touch millions? Now, I don't know how many lives I'm touching at this point, but because I'm not worried about the details, I simply feel that as my reality now. You came out of nowhere and asked me to do this interview. I didn't reach out to you. Somehow you were drawn to me, and we're reaching many, many people. You are helping me to share the messages, and my vision is becoming reality because I see it as real now. I'm excited about it. I put energy around that. But as to how that's going to happen, I leave that up to spirit.
You leave it up to spirit. And so your goal is reaching, sending out a message of hope, and we're going to talk about message of hope in just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find out what I mean by that, to reach millions. And Suzanne mentioned the universe, spirit, brought the two of us together. And I'm going to disclose something, my dear friends out there listening to the show, Wealthy Thoughts. I did contact Suzanne Giesman, and she wrote back. She said, thank you for the kind invitation. I'm not sure we are a fit. Tell me more. So I wrote back to her. I felt drawn, Suzanne. I had read her website. I read and felt, more importantly, I felt her energy from her words, and I wrote back and let her know that I believe that together we can further you, your message, your words out there, because your work is so important, and it's evidenced by a year and a half waiting list, and actually you're not taking on new people at the present time. So I'm glad we're getting a word out there about your work, your message of hope, that we... No, I hope, but I believe it's touching millions of people. And so that a person has states their goal, is clear about the goal, they feel the reality right now of having success, and you suggest then let themselves be guided instead of feeling like they have to do it solo, all by themselves. Did I understand that more or less correctly?
Most definitely, and certainly don't limit your thoughts. If I allowed myself to think, oh, it's impossible for me to reach millions, that's a silly, outrageous goal, then I won't. But if I know that things are possible beyond my wildest imaginations because I'm connected to this greater reality where all of creation takes place, then the sky's the limit. So you just leave the details to the universe. Set big, outrageous goals that make you feel positive and good. And, I mean, I say outrageous. There is a limit. I mean, I'm not touching the whole world. You see, I don't know. I can't do that. But I know that we can reach millions with the messages. And I can get excited about that, wrap my head around that. But as for how that comes about, that's when the trust that we are all connected in some way to the universe, to a greater reality, to each other, then the magic starts to happen.
We're going to talk, ladies and gentlemen, about these outrageous goals because I think that's an important point. But for those of you who would like to call in and ask Suzanne Giesemann a question, join the conversation. In the United States, area code 646-652-2293, 646-652-2293. If you're calling from outside the United States, the country code is 1. You would dial 001-646-652-2293. And, well, let's talk about the audience out there. Where can they find your website, Suzanne?
Okay, well, my name's a little bit hard to spell, so I make it easy for folks. My work is all about love and finding out that that's who we are. So my website is Love at the Center, loveatthecenter.com.
Okay, Love at the Center. .com. That's four words, ladies and gentlemen, and to help you also with that, where is love? It's at the center, and I'm not trying to be funny or cute. That's to help you remember that. Love at the center, all together, no hyphens, .com. And if you care to Google Suzanne's name, I am going to take the liberty of spelling her last name, a good German last name. Suzanne, of course, spelled... It's spelled different ways, but I'm going to spell it to you. It's S-U-Z-A-N-N-E. Giesemann is G, and it's the last name, G-I-E-S-E-M-A-N-N, two N's, .com. As Suzanne mentioned, you can Google her name. You can go to her website. Either way, the simplest way is loveatthecenter.com. And in just a moment, we're going to tell you a little bit of what resources you can find on Suzanne's website. She also has a Facebook page. But you talked about outrageous goals. And I want to ask you, to the person who's listening, if they are going after a goal, you're a woman who's accomplished a lot in life. And again, I congratulate and salute you. The man or woman, whether they are a teenager, whether they're adolescent, or whether they're 60 or they're 90, and they want to set out goals. If they're setting easy goals that are not outrageous, and they feel that those are easy to get to, but they really, their passion is for that outrageous goal, what would you say to them?
Well, that's the point right there, is the passion, Richard. That passion turns into emotion, and when you combine that with intention, that's the key to creation. And so just believe and know that you don't have to accomplish this alone, and hold firmly to that vision and don't waver from it. There are plenty of people who have been teaching these things forever because it works, but it's really all about thinking big. My initial goal was, I am a Hay House author. Hay House is a publisher of transformational books. And at the time, I had only published a couple of books, and that was a really outrageous goal to be a Hay House author. Well, when my agent submitted my manuscript to Hay House at my request, we had a contract within 2 weeks, which in the writing world is almost unheard of. But I know that's because I held that vision firmly for over a year, repeating every day, I am a Hay House author in the present tense. And once that came to pass, I had to up the ante and come up with a new goal. And that's when I said, I am reaching millions with the messages of hope. And the next thing you know, I had a movie producer come to me and offer to make a documentary about the story of my transition from Navy commander to evidence-based medium. And that documentary is now a reality, and you can view it from my website. It's also been at several major film festivals around the country and is a beautiful way of sharing the messages. So that's how it works. You must just hold unwaveringly to that vision. Oh, but there's a key here, Richard. It needs to be to serve the greater good. Uh-huh. Okay? If your goal All right. is to just have a fancy car in your driveway, that may not come to pass. But if your goal, your passion, ends up serving others, helping to raise the consciousness of humanity, this is a greater goal with some real teeth in it, then I can guarantee you, you are going to have all the support from that greater reality that you could ask for.
Suzanne, if a person is listening to the show and they say, okay, I've been meditating on, let me say, a new Corvette. And for those outside the U.S., most people know that's a very fine automobile, but it's not to everybody's taste. But it's only for Bill's taste or Carol's taste. It's not serving the greater good necessarily. So they may or may not manifest that Corvette. But, Suzanne, you're suggesting when the goal, and it's an outrageous big goal, like to be an author, to be published by Hay House, is going to serve the greater good, then spirit gets involved. And would you define, it to the best of your ability, what does serving the greater good mean so that they can touch and feel that?
Let me tell you, Richard, serving the greater good can be as small as walking into a room and smiling at those who are in that room and raising the spirits in that room. You don't have to become an author and go do great things and speak to large audiences. What is your passion? What awakens your soul? What drives you to bring out the love that is you? If you can translate that into your life's work, whether that be a side job or your money-making job, you are going to be successful, because the whole reason we're here in this reality as human beings is to raise the consciousness, to bring more love into this world, and to take more love with us when we move on from this world than we came into it with. So anything you can do to bring more love into the world through service to others, through raising the consciousness of those around you, will be fully supported by the universe. And all your listeners need to do is tune into their hearts and say, what is it that brings out the love in me? What is my passion? What drives me? If it's money, then you're not truly in alignment with the soul.
Fabulous. You are, as your website says, Suzanne Giesemann, you are a messenger of hope. I feel your passion, and I believe, and I hope and pray our audience does also. And I believe it's interesting, your goal, as I believe you said you meditated on for a year, your outrageous goal, you reached for the sky. I am a Hay House author, and you meditated and affirmed that day in and day out for approximately a year. If you had said, that's for the big leagues, that's for the accomplished, that's for the Wayne Dyers, that's not me, would you have ever been published 11 times or be a Hay House author, do you think?
Hard to say, but I would doubt it.
It is hard to say. It's a very rhetorical question. But what I want to emphasize is the opposite, ladies and gentlemen, that there's a very simple affirmation and a coaching tool that Suzanne Giesemann just passed on and shared with you. She just shared some love, some of her passion with you that lets your goal be a goal that is full of love, that's going to expand on love for the greater good, to help other people have grander, better lives, richer lives. And she's made very clear, she's, when richer, it could involve money, but that was not her primary goal when she said she wanted to be published by Hay House. She wanted to, as a messenger of hope, get her message out and raise the consciousness. Well, your book, Message of Hope, let's talk about that a little bit. It's done very well. And why don't you tell the audience about your book, what led you to write it, and a little bit about it, please.
Well, Messages of Hope is my story. It's my memoir. It's called the Memoir of a Most Unexpected Medium. And it is the story of my experiences of being in the last aircraft in the air of U.S. airspace on 9/11, how that started me asking the greater questions, and then it takes the reader through Susan's death and how that really started me looking in a metaphysical direction, and then the very unexpected discovery of that not only is there a greater reality, but that I could communicate with it. And it takes the readers through the evidence that convinced me that this is real and that this type of communication is possible for someone who never had any idea that they could do that. And so the book is, when people read it, they end up giving it to friends of theirs who are grieving, because it's filled with comfort. There's no greater message, I believe, than to know that life truly is eternal, that when we pass, that is not the end at all, simply the beginning of a new chapter. So Messages of Hope is an uplifting book. It's one that confirms to readers what they already know in their soul, that we are here for a purpose, which is to learn to love each other unconditionally, and that we get to continue practicing that forever, because life is eternal.
Beautifully said. Messages of Hope. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy it for a relative, a very close relative of a wife and mine who believes in this, and this will help back up, cement, emphasize, confirm what he has been talking about. Messages of Hope. When did the idea for Messages of Hope become born within your soul, within your spirit, Suzanne?
When I could no longer deny that I was working as a medium, and that I realized the value of my background with that military career and serving at the highest levels of the military. I have interacted with 6 different presidents throughout my career, and I realized that there are a lot of people who, like me, would like to know that there's something more, but just need more proof than most, that we're a little bit more skeptical. And I realized that if they would read my story and think, well, if she could believe this, then I can too, then that would help others to come to this beautiful realization that I have come to know as absolute truth, that there is so much more to life than what many people realize.
Okay, as a medium, this sparked the interest, the desire, the passion, a word that's reoccurring in our conversation today, love, passion, drive, and this led Suzanne Giesemann to write Messages of Hope. And how can our audience find your beautiful book, Suzanne?
Certainly through my website, loveatthecenter.com, or simply on Amazon. All of my books are available on Amazon.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Messages of Hope. As Suzanne talked about, for any of you in a grieving state that are searching for comfort, the book that may be on your nightstand when you're going to bed, that could be next to the coffee table when you have the television on, you're not really watching, but you're thinking and grieving, going through a mourning experience, Messages of Hope is your best friend. And for those of you curious about what led Suzanne Giesemann to success as a military career and what led her to be an evidential medium, you will want to buy and give away to your friends Messages of Hope, a wonderful book. And you can go to her website, loveatthecenter.com, or at amazon.com. And as Suzanne mentioned, you can find all of her books at amazon.com. And be sure and visit her website. Suzanne, you have also a Facebook page, and I'd like all the audience to go to your page and like it. They just simply go look at go to Facebook and then type in Suzanne Giesemann.
That's correct, yes. And they'll see your picture there today, Richard.
Okay. I already did, and I would like to thank you and Bev very much for that. And ladies and gentlemen, when you go to your Facebook page and you look for Suzanne, very easy to find her. I did it already. Suzanne, S-U-Z-A-N-N-E, Giesemann is spelled G-I-E-S-E-M-A-N-N. And you'll see Suzanne's pretty face and her wonderful messages and the dialogue she has on Facebook. Join in the dialogue. Join in the conversation with Suzanne. Be sure and like the page. And you can follow Suzanne through her website. There's a couple ways you can go about that. And one way is go to events, ladies and gentlemen, and then click on calendar of events. So talk to us a bit about that, Suzanne Giesemann. With your calendar events, it looks like you go around the United States and you give workshops and talks. What happens if somebody were to just find out that you're in the neighborhood and they want to join and meet you in person?
Well, Richard, it's such a joy to take the messages of hope on the road. I have a variety of workshops that I give at locations around the country. We're leaving at the end of the month, my husband and I, for a 20 events tour. We're going to be at 20 cities around the country speaking, and I'm so honored to have been invited to speak at 3 different conferences in the coming year, big conferences. In fact, one is the International Association of Near-Death Studies. I believe this may be the first time that they've gone out on a limb and invited a medium to speak at their annual conference, and I'm so honored by that. Again, I believe it's my background that I bring to this that brings wonderful credibility to it. Trust me, there are many, many credible mediums out there, but until now, mediumship has not gotten the respect that it truly deserves, because this is a wonderful opportunity to find out that the loved ones that we've lost are not gone forever. I do not concentrate on giving group readings like many mediums do. I find that I can reach many more souls, touch many more hearts through the teaching that I do, sharing in workshops. And I bring evidence to those workshops from my readings that I do one-on-one to help people know that this is real. But ultimately, the message is, what does that mean for us here and now? How can I bring my own life into alignment with my own soul? How can I create a life of joy and happiness right here and right now? That's what I take on the road, those messages.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, go meet Suzanne in person. Listen to her message of hope, messages of hope, and she is a messenger of hope. Go to her website, loveatthecenter.com, and she and her husband are getting ready to go on tour around the United States. They have 20 events planned. And they definitely will be somewhere near you. Bring your relatives, bring your friends, bring somebody who's interested in hearing Suzanne's message. Your life will never be the same. Also, the audience can get in touch to Suzanne. It is feel her energy, feel her passion through your new 6-DVD video course, Let Your Spirit Soar. Now, soar, ladies and gentlemen, is S.O.A.R. Would you tell the audience, please, and that is the 4 keys to your personal breakthrough, tell the audience about SOAR, Suzanne.
Oh, yes, Richard. It's based on a full-day workshop that I've given for several years to thousands of people, and everyone, no matter where they are on their personal spiritual path, finds something they can use in this, because the SOAR, the reason it's written like you said it, S-O-A-R, is an acronym, and we military people love our acronyms, but it's a wonderful tool to use to bring to mind to summarize the whole course. It's all about, the S is all about seeing the oneness, understanding what this whole concept of oneness is, how we are all connected at the spirit level. And then O is learning how to open your heart. When you do that, the heart being the bridge between the human side of you and the soul, everything changes. You come into alignment with your true nature, and life becomes far more peaceful, and things just flow. So you're learning techniques and tools for opening your heart. And then A is attuning to higher consciousness, learning to tap into the higher aspects of you for guidance and creativity and insight. And then the R in SOAR is all about reclaiming your power. We give away our personal power to things like money and possessions and titles, but our real power comes from within, the life force, the energy, the spirit that flows through all of us. So learning to let your spirit soar is all about coming into alignment with your true self in every moment of your life and applying the tools that I share in that course.
So it's S-O-A-R, ladies and gentlemen, seeing that we are all connected in one way or the other. You're not alone. You're not the Lone Ranger. We are all connected. And if you have felt as if you're the Lone Ranger, and ladies and gentlemen, outside the U.S., that's a term from an old television show, that is, you feel like you're living life alone, Suzanne Giesman will suggest to you, you're not alone, that we are all connected. And open yourself, open your heart. She's talked about heart and love. Open yourself to intuition. And this is what leads her to be a successful evidential medium. And then you have attaining the higher, is it attaining the higher goals?
It's
the
attuning,
actions?
Attuning to higher consciousness, yes.
Attuning to higher consciousness. And this is an example, one that we could talk about for hours, but she attuned to a higher consciousness, not only the spirit, but when she suggested that she wants to not only be published by Hay House, she has an intention to reach millions of people out there. And reclaiming your power, that the power, and help me with this, Suzanne, is not solely in things and money and material things, reclaiming your power, your passion, your love, your vision for what you want, for what you want to do in life, what is important to you in terms of the greater and grander good. Is that more or less correct?
Actually, Richard, it's more of a realization that there is a material power that many people give power to, thinking that if they don't have material things and success and titles, that they're powerless. And it's realizing that you are powerful already without all of those entrapments. And it's coming to recognize that innate power within you that comes from the love that you are. And once you really claim that power for yourself, you no longer go through life as a victim or relying on things outside of yourselves for success. You realize that true success comes from simply knowing that you are a beautiful being. You are always loved, and you are here to share that love with others. That is incredibly powerful, but in our society, most people don't see that as a type of power.
Reclaiming this, okay. And ladies and gentlemen, it's you. Everybody has it. Wherever you are in life, wherever you're living on the world, in the planet, it is not claiming your power. It does not come through the things, the money, the toys, as you talked about at the beginning of the show, Keeping Up the Joneses. It comes to inside of you, not on the outside, but in the inside of you. Did I do better that time?
That's perfect, yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we just have a minute or two left with Suzanne. I want you to be sure, as we talked about, on going to her website, loveatthecenter.com. Also, she has another site where she offers daily inspirational messages from Suzanne that regardless if you're able to make her workshops or not, you're going to be able to be in touch with Suzanne for inspiration, for reinforcement that who you are is important enough. You have everything you need inside of you and not on the outside. She has her daily inspirational messages that you can sign up for, and I'm going to do my best here. Sania Says, and that's S, capital SanayaSays.com. If you missed that, contact me at wealthythoughts@gmail.com. Tell us how you came up with Sanaya Says, Suzanne.
There you go. Sanaya is the name that I give to this group consciousness that I tap into every morning in meditation, and all I need to do is ask, what is it that somebody who will read your words today needs to hear? And the words, the beautiful messages just flow. I write them down as I hear them every morning, and thousands of people read them now daily. And daily people write to me and say, oh, Sanaya was speaking to me today. That's exactly what I needed to hear. This is nothing new. It's not earth-shattering, but it brings us right back to what's important in this life. So you can count on those messages always being full of love. There are no shoulds or must-dos. It's simply a way of recalibrating ourselves here to keep the focus on what's important, why we're here. So Sanaya says, just Sanaya, a good dose of love.
Good dose of love. And you heard Suzanne Giesman meditates every morning. I heard that correctly. Is that right, Suzanne?
Absolutely. I wouldn't be without it. That's what keeps me centered on who I really am. This human life is temporary, Richard, for all of us. We're all terminal as human beings. And when you come to know that there is a greater aspect of you, that is not a scary thought. That just makes you know that we have some work to do while we're here. We want to get it right. And so it's through meditation that we come to know that we're loved. We have a reason for being here, and it keeps us focused on fulfilling that mission while we're here.
Beautifully said, ladies and gentlemen. Let go of going right to your emails, checking your messages, checking your tweets, checking your text messages. Spend some time alone meditating. You just heard Suzanne Giesman is an example of an accomplished woman, accomplished in many ways professionally and accomplish internally, in spirit, in love, in hope, in passion, and she meditates every morning. We are suggesting to put that ahead of everything else. Enjoy the life that we have right now. As she said this, we're only here for a finite amount of time. Messages of hope will let you know that there's more to it, even at the what we think is the material or the actual end. Dear Suzanne, I cannot thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule, soon to be on tour, 20 cities, to be with us today on Wealthy Thoughts. You are a joy, and you are an inspiration of hope, and you are a messenger of hope. I want to say we are better equipped to soar to higher levels of consciousness and an abundant life, a rich, abundant life within ourselves because of you, your work, and your personal dedication. Please come back and join us again, maybe when you get back, maybe at the next book, and let's talk about it again. We send you our thoughts of love, harmony, joy, light, abundance, and happiness, Suzanne, for all that you see, touch, and do.
Thank you, Richard. It's an honor.
You're very welcome, Suzanne. Ladies and gentlemen, if you care to hear a replay of today's show, and please do, I will personally listen to my own show again because I was inspired during the show and I want to listen to it afterwards. Pass the link along to your friends and relatives and let's get this message out that Suzanne Giesman is sharing with the world. You can go to my website, ThoughtsMakeYouWealthy.com and click radio show. That's ThoughtsMakeYouWealthy.com and click radio show. And if you care to have another version of Prosperity Energy every morning in your mailbox, please sign up for my free daily prosperity message at ThoughtsMakeYouWealthy.com. Remember this, dear friends, and we talked about this all during the show with our dear friend Suzanne Giesman. Whatever you think about, talk about, write about is what you track. It's within you to have whatever you want for the grander and the greater good. Therefore, why not make love, health, and gratefulness the focus of your attention? This is Richard Levy in Flower Mound, Texas, reminding you to love, appreciate, and admire the most important person you know, that is you. Bye-bye for now. Be good.
Thank you for inviting positive success into your life this week on Wealthy Thoughts. Please join host Richard Levy again next Monday at 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, and noon Pacific. This week, think of something you can do to bring success and prosperity to others.